kayang magiliw, perlas ng silanganan, alab ng puso, sa dibdib mo'y buhay.
Radio Netherlands presents Old Heroes, New Heroes, Identity in the Philippines. The program is presented by Alain Michaud.
Sa dagat at bundok, sa simoy at sa langit mong bughaw, may dilagang tula at awit sa paglayang minamahal.
The flag was raised high as young revolutionaries proclaimed the Philippines' independence from Spain. The national anthem was sung for the very first time, 100 years ago, on June 12, 1898. There could be no revolution without a marching band, with bamboo replicas of the brass instruments used by the Spanish conquistadores. This band was founded in 1896, the year revolutionary leader Andrés Bonifacio launched the first real cry against Spain, with his Katipunero rebels.
August 23, 1896, in Pugadlawin, a meeting was taking place among Andres Bonifacio and the Katipuneros.
Bring out your residence certificates and tell them, from this day on, we're putting an end to the tyrannical rule of the invaders. Long live the Philippines!
Andres Bonifacio, courageous leader, patriotic. This is a reminder brought to you by this station and the National Centennial Commission. Freedom, wealth of the nation.
When we speak of the independence of 1898, what sparked it was 1896. And before 1896, you have to recognize 300 plus years by which you had, I think, about 300 and plus rebellions all over the Philippines. So it was not always quiet on the home front.
Historian Charlie Ascuna.
There were many revolts during the time that the Spaniards were here, but they were all reactions to the atrocities and the excesses of colonialism. They were not national reactions because there was no real nation to speak of. The Filipino nation as we know it today was born as a response, it was a collective response to Spanish colonialism. You might say that we were united in the resistance against Spain, and we discovered our commonality and shared history and shared fate as a people in the course of the resistance. So we are a people who are born of the revolution.
Sociologist Randy David. How have 400 years of colonization and two revolutions shaped the way Filipinos look at themselves today? The product of a colonial experience myself, I know how the issue of identity keeps haunting us. Who are we? Who are our heroes? Do you know José Rizal?
Yes.
Who's that?
A national hero.
And why is he your national hero?
He fought with his mind instead of his physical abilities.
He fought with his mind, okay. What did you say?
He's brave. He's like, the pen is mightier than the sword. Because he wrote.
He wrote books about what happened to us, like our sufferings, like that.
When the Spaniards caught him.
There are three major controversial heroes in the Philippines. The one who we recognize as our greatest national hero, and rightly so, is a man by the name of Dr. José Rizal. Very brilliant man who went to Europe when he was 21 years old, died when he was 36. Rizal was a genius. He was a great student of philosophy, of philology. I think he spoke as many as a dozen languages. He took up medicine. He was a biologist. He was educated in Germany and in Spain and wrote his two famous novels abroad in Spanish, which was the language of the colonial power. Those books that he wrote tremendously affected the educated classes in this country. And the few who were educated told the story of these novels to those who could not read, and it inspired people to rise up in arms eventually.
I have returned to these islands to destroy this system, precipitate its corruption, push it to the abyss, even if I have to spill torrents of blood and tears.
Rizal did not live to see the system destroyed. His novels may have inspired the revolution, but Rizal himself condemned the use of arms and advocated reform. That arose suspicion, and the Spaniards tried him for treason and complicity in the revolution and sentenced him to die before a firing squad.
He refused to be shot in the back. So at the moment of firing, he twisted his body resolutely and faced the volley of fire so that the bullets would pierce his chest rather than his back. And he never wavered in his commitment. Such martyrdom and such courage was what moved many Filipinos.
Many Filipinos still know parts of Rizal's last poem to the nation by heart.
Farewell, my adored land, region of the sun caressed, pearl of the Orient Sea, our Eden lost. With gladness I give you my life, sad and repressed. I'll go where there are no slaves, tyrants or hangmen, where faith does not kill, and where God alone does reign.
The term Filipino is taken from the root word Felipe, who was king of Spain. Therefore, we are a people who are named after our colonial master. And this still grates in the soul of many, many Filipinos. But even so, Filipino, for a long time in this country, meant Spaniards born in the Philippines. Because everyone else was called by the Europeans an Indio, believing that we were all Indians, meaning colonial subjects.
By the 19th century, the Spanish conquistadores who'd landed on the archipelago 3 centuries earlier were divided into 2 groups.
Spaniards born in the Philippines and Spaniards born in the Iberian Peninsula. The Spaniards born in the Iberian Peninsula, meaning in Spain, were called peninsulares. Spaniards born in the Philippines were called insulares. Sometimes they were called creoles. But most of the time they were called Filipinos. Most of these people developed an identity that was attached to geography, to the fact that they were born in this land, which made them different from the Spaniards who were born in Europe. So Rizal's main contribution is that, having gone to Europe, when nationalism itself was something new, because nations were being formed from the debris of kingdoms and empires that were collapsing in Europe, people were beginning to think in terms of nations, that is to say, communities that were united by a common shared past, born in the same land, speaking the same language, and perhaps, to a large extent, believing in the same God. And so, there is a story that Rizal, when he was a student in Europe, wrote to his comrades, his friends in the Philippines, and he said, up to this time, he said, we natives of this country have only thought of ourselves in 2 ways. One, as subjects of Mother Spain. 2, as children of the Mother Church. Isn't it possible, he said, to imagine ourselves in a 3rd way, meaning we are brothers and sisters because we were all born in this land. Therefore, we constitute a nation. We are a people. We are as good, he said, and as proud as the Spaniards. We were not born to be colonial subjects, nor to be just children of the church. We are also Filipinos. So from there on, Rizal fought so that the term Filipino would apply to all people who were born in this country, and not just to Spaniards who were born in the Philippines. Regardless of whether you spoke Spanish, or you spoke Tagalog, or any of the local languages, you were a Filipino. That is Rizal's contribution to the emergence of national identity.
Rizal was a member of the educated elite, but Andres Bonifacio, the man who started the armed rebellion, was a self-educated man. He wrote in Tagalo, a native language of the northern Luzon island. Bonifacio spoke in the language of the masses.
He wrote poems in Tagalog, and some of these poems are being sung, patriotic songs, you see.
Can you sing one of them?
No, you should have asked my wife. She's a singer.
Aling pag-ibig ba ang higit kaya sa pagkadalisay at pagkadakila gaya ng pag-ibig sa tinubuang lupa? Aling pag-ibig ba? Wala nang nga wala.
A fiery proclamation was issued by Andres Bonifacio, the great supremo.
In this revolution, we are dedicating our lives for the freedom of our beloved motherland. With this in your mind, will you be afraid to die? No! 1,000 no!
This is a reminder brought to you by this station and the National Centennial Commission. Freedom, wealth of the nation.
Bonifacio was also martyred, but at the hands of fellow revolutionaries who refused to be led by someone who was not a member of the elite. His rival, Emilio Aguinaldo, took over and sought guidance from the United States of America, now at war with Spain.
So Aguinaldo came back from Hong Kong.
Because he'd been in exile.
Yes, he was in exile. And he felt that together with the Americans, they were going to defeat the Spaniards. And, you know, we would declare our independence and we would be a free nation. Of course, that's not what happened. On June 12 of 1898, Aguinaldo declared the Philippine Republic, the first Philippine Republic. Not one single American was present. Now, on August 13 of 1898, the Spaniards surrendered to the Americans. Now, if we were free, why did the Spaniards surrender to the Americans? On December of 1898, Spain ceded the Philippines to the United States for $20 million. That's funny. I thought we declared our independence.
Well, it became very clear subsequently that Spain would rather lose to another North American power than to relinquish power to natives.
To another great power.
To another great power, then it would not be such a loss of face. The long and short of it is that we were transferred to the United States of America for $20 million under the Treaty of Paris. I mean, at that time, big nations transferred small nations, transacted them like cattle.
The war continued for 2 years. And even after that, resistance continued on until 1909. And then it took, of course, other forms. But that resistance was there. This is something that is very little known because until recently it was not in the books.
Why not?
Because our books were written by the Americans.
The Americans brought the English language and education to the Philippines, preparing, they claimed, Filipinos for independence. Independence eventually came after World War II, following a short but brutal Japanese occupation. Historical Manila, baptized the noble and ever loyal city by the Spaniards, was destroyed. Independence from the United States came, but it came with strings attached. Historian Maris Diokno.
Independence in 1946 was a farce because we allowed American military bases here to remain for 99 years. And then we tied ourselves down to economic arrangements that made us completely dependent on the American market and American capital. That is true. On the other hand, I look at the centennial precisely as an opportunity to raise those questions, to bring out these facts about our past. When do we get an opportunity like this again?
These agreements made us a neo-colony. So you can't say that we were free in 1946. You might say that the first time we really tasted freedom was in 1991, when the last American soldier left the military bases in Subic. That was 1991.
The jeepney became a mode of public transportation after the Americans left the Philippines and left their jeeps behind. And the Filipinos converted them into buses. And ever since then, jeepneys are the mode.
To my mind, we have this twisted notion of nationalism attached to the jeepney. Much of it was left behind in the Philippines as part of reparations for the war. Okay, we did not get money. We got lots of old jeeps because they were not going to ship them back to America anyway. The Filipinos had a terrible transportation crisis. This is true. Post-war, of course, because all of the cable car lines were bombed out, trains were not available. And so what they did was they took these jeeps, cut out the back, and converted them into like carriages. People could go in from behind, sit face-to-face. That eventually evolved into a colorful icon associated with the Philippines. But it is a terrible pollutant. It's very quaint, okay? It's very quaint, yes. And it makes it fun for people who don't live here. But we do not build our own cars. Instead, we patch together, you know, the word, the French word, of course, bricolage. No? It is a bricolage. But other cultures have built things, but the jeepney has not moved on. That's a 50-year-old design, and it's still in vogue. I mean, even the Volkswagen has changed shape.
He calls himself Bogey. He's a Filipino artist.
We have a song that's very popular during the fight against Marcos, which is called Bayan Ko. Bayan Ko was crafted in the 1920s against the American colonial period. And one of the important phrases there, for example, is the picture of a bird in a cage that wants to be free but cannot be freed. It was picked up and a few of the words changed in the fight against Marcos. We take pride in saying that we began that revolution that sparked on all over Eastern Europe subsequently. What we call the People Revolution gave us that pride, you know. We did things our way.
The biggest manifestation of national identity this century took place on EDSA Avenue in Manila, when thousands of demonstrators, supported by the army, managed to oust dictator Ferdinand Marcos. Mardi Suplido was one of the student leaders. She says she was inspired by the heroes of the Philippines' first revolution.
Well, I was inspired by the heroes, the fact that they were young. I mean, when I read, for example, the what they print about these heroes in the newspapers, then I say, 30 years old, he was already a hero. He read the revolution. Rizal was just 32. Aguinaldo was just 26. It really gives me confidence because I want to run for local politics. And sometimes I get the same answer. I'm already 32, but it's still the same answer. You're so young, why don't you wait? And when I look at that, it really inspires me that young people, you know, we can make change, we can take on leadership positions.
12 years after the EDSA revolution, there's a feeling that people power did not leave tangible results. It did bring about new democratic structures and human rights legislation, but no real improvement in the lives of most people. About 70% of the population of the Philippines remains poor.
Well, I teach a class of freshmen here in history, and I was reading to the class excerpts of documents that had been written by Filipinos at that time. And their reaction was almost unanimous. If I did not tell them that this had been written 100 years ago, they would think it I was talking about today.
In a survey, public school children were asked to choose a nationality. The Philippine nationality ranked close to the bottom. Among the countries the children preferred were the United States and Japan and Saudi Arabia, countries where Filipinos find employment because there's no work at home. Some 7.5 million Filipinos, that's about 10% of the population, live abroad. Faye Mangahas is a historian and musician.
On the outside, we might appear among the Asians the most westernized, and so you might say we have very little left of our identity. But we Filipinos, we don't look at identity as something fixed, you know. Maybe when we came in contact with the West, compared to Japan or China, we did not have a very massive or really formed, developed culture. Maybe we were just emerging as one of the Southeast Asians that have always been in the crossroads of contacts with various peoples. So in a way, that makes the Filipino culture open and less rigid. So I would like to imagine that we have emerged all through the centuries of colonization as our own selves, mixing the best of both worlds.
Idugtong, itabit, idikit. Sa mabilisang gamit, simply Mighty Bandit. Mighty Bond, Mighty Fast, Mighty Strong.
Bomb equipment shirts, available at all Shumart branches, Isetan, Evergotesco, and other leading department stores nationwide. It pays to be a bomb. Bomb equipment shirts.
Language in any post-colonial context often reflects the colonial past. I was not able to grasp what role it plays in the Philippines, where some 80 different dialects are spoken. But it's surely in the Philippines to speak native languages. I even found myself trying to convince a woman to speak her own language with her child instead of English. The French-Canadian in me just couldn't resist. In Manila, you'll hear Taglish, a mixture of Tagalo, the language most widely spoken in the north, and English. But you won't hear any Spanish, apart from a few borrowed words and expressions. Spain's most enduring legacy has been Catholicism. 80% of the population is Catholic. But there's an increasingly vocal Muslim minority in the south, mainly on the large island of Mindanao. Many Muslims take pride in the fact that they managed to fend off attempts by the Spaniards, the Americans, and the Japanese to colonize them. Jasmine Busran Lau works with a non-governmental organization in Mindanao. What does the centennial of the country's Declaration of Independence mean for Muslims? Is she a Filipina?
We have our own history as a people. And it's quite different from the history of Philippine history that we've read in the school that were taught to us. So therefore, when they speak of centennial, that has always been embedded in our mind as Rizal, Bonifacio, Aguinaldo, and all that, but none of the local leaders. We don't see any connection. Maybe because of the fact that we've never been conquered, we have never struggled the way they struggled. That's why we don't consider, most of us do not consider ourselves as Filipinos. Some people have been here even before the term Filipino was used. So it is really very difficult to assume an identity, a new identity, and discard the old ones.
How do you identify yourself personally?
Muslims prefer to use Muslim Filipino. So the appellate Muslim is always there. Because to them, being a Muslim is first and above all their identity before they are part of a political entity.
At a conference on women and the revolution, Carmen Abubakar, a professor of Islamic studies, said she rejects the symbols used by the government to rekindle Filipino identity during the centennial celebrations.
In our case, being a Filipino is not an advantage. Because while we claim to be Filipinos, we are not treated in the same way as other Filipinos. So when you talk about the South, you always come across this issue of identity, and it has not been settled yet. And the celebration of the centennial probably would not settle the matter. Even the symbols of the centennial, of course, comes from the symbols of the Christians. The flag itself, which they are trying to celebrate, you know, represents people who they call rose against the Spanish government. And there are 8 of them. And they say the Muslims are not part of that 8 race.
Hopes that one day the term Filipino will embrace all the people of the country's different religions and cultures, and that Muslim heroes will find a place in the pantheon of Filipino heroes. Well, perhaps there's hope. When I met a group of Girl Scouts on the street in the north in Manila and asked them about the Philippine heroes, spontaneously they mentioned Lapu Lapu, the Muslim who killed the very first representative of Spain to land on the shores of the archipelago.
First hero of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. He killed Magellan.
He was Portuguese. A Portuguese that wanted to... Yeah, he wanted our country to be part of
Spain.
He worked
for... And what happened to him? That was Mr. Magellan.
Yeah, Magellan fought with Lapu Lapu because Lapu Lapu didn't want Magellan to get the whole Philippines for Spain. That's why Lapu Lapu killed Magellan.
This is not to say that there is no optimistic view of the future in terms of trying to find or trying to accept a national identity for the variety of cultures or variety of identities. Takes, I think, an enlightened leadership and an enlightened government system to view the government not as something that will oppress the people, but as something that will take care of the welfare of the people, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they live, regardless of their belief, regardless of their earlier identities. And I think that would be a happy occasion where everybody who calls themselves a Filipino or who calls himself a Filipino will be proud of being a Filipino. But that has to come.
Bayang magiliw, perlas ng silanganan, alab ng puso, sa dibdib mo'y buhay.
I saw what you were able to do before. I know we can do it. I mean, against the dictatorship, against the bases. I know we can do it again, if we have to.
Well, we united during EDSA, even if for a moment. I think that's the way Filipinos will be like, uniting at certain conjunctures, then moving on again with the tensions, then uniting again, then moving on again with the tensions. What we want to keep whole maybe is our vision, you know, that finally and truly we'll have a good life in the country.
Aming ligaya ng pagmamangapi ang mamatay ng dahil sa'yo.
You've been listening to Old Heroes, New Heroes, Identity in the Philippines, The program was produced and presented by Hélène Michaud. Technical production, Ronald Hoffman. This has been a Radio Netherlands presentation.